It was this microphone that sat here in real time live and explained to the world when George Zimmerman would be acquitted. I want you all to understand what you're looking at. I want you to understand that they are not kidding. I want you to understand just how long they've been at this. It was a white man, David Ayers, who wrote the movie Training Day that got Denzel Washington an Academy Award. Forget the other stuff to the side. Stay focused, damn it. In that movie, his character, Alonzo, is supposed to be this calculating operator, and he talks about how you've been thinking about this for 3 days. I've been thinking about this for 3 months or whatever. Y'all are playing checkers. We're playing chess. Our enemies have been stacking it and have stacked the deck against us, not years, not decades, centuries in advance. They stacked the deck against us centuries in advance. You are not up against one or two crooked cops. And some of you are under the delusion that you are. You are not up against one or two crooked police. You are not up against one or two crooked police chiefs. You are not up against one or two crooked police departments in one or two cities. You are up against an entire system of white supremacist ideology and tyranny. That is what you are up against. And most of us are simply sitting ducks and waiting victims. Because there is no infrastructure in place with which to protect us from this voracious, vicious system. And so when you have the freedom to call the police, you can call them. You've got the freedom to do it. But when you call the police, you're going to get different results than when white people called them. And now you found out when Asians called them. It was the Black Channel that told you years ago that we had to correct the etymology, we had to correct the phraseology that people were using. We had to correct the vernacular because people were saying that we're gonna fall behind the Asians. We're gonna fall behind the Asians. We fell behind the whites. Fell behind the Latinos. We're gonna fall behind the Asians. I want to say to you all tonight, we can officially declare it. Black people have officially fallen behind the Asians. We are no longer on our way. We have officially fallen behind the Asians. Native Americans, next stop, extinction. And it's just that simple. That is what it will be from here on in. We told you this years ago, and people mocked us. They scoffed at us. They tried to insult us. They tried to lampoon us. They tried to make jokes. Do you find any of those folk making jokes tonight? Will you find any of them tonight wanting to make some wisecracks? I challenge you to find them. Bring them on out if you can and see if you can get them to make any wisecracks tonight. Tonight, for those of you who are unaware of why we're holding this broadcast, yet again, in New York City, we had told you behind this very microphone weeks ago, me and Professor Black Truth, we had told you then, and it's come down exactly the way we said it. You had one coon who called in saying, well, we'll just wait until after the cop gets acquitted before we say that Ken Thompson is a traitor to us. Let's wait until after then, because Ken Thompson's done some good things, black man. He's done some good things. This clown sounds just like the Obama supporters. Well, there are black men and black children and women being killed all over America by police. But, you know, Obama's done some good things for black folk.
What good things has he done?
Well, he came and danced the ducky and now green and came and sang to us.
And tonight, here we are again, New York City, one of the murderous killers of the New York Police Department, Death Squad, Peter Liang. He's been let off with community service. He murdered Akai Gurley, shot him dead in a stairwell, left him there to bleed to death, refused to call an ambulance because we need him dead so that he can't tell his side of the story. We need him dead. Left him there to die, hoped he would die, and now, oh well, he's not there anymore. But this time it was different because this time it has illustrated and has finally conclusively debunked the idea that all we need to do is take one or two people out of the equation and we'll be okay. We just got to remove one or two people. That's all we need. One or two people. And tonight, hopefully, you have been divorced of that fallacy that you're just one or two people away from having what you need. If only we could get a black mayor, we'd be all right. Well, if only we could get a black city council, we'd be all right. Well, if only we could get a black police chief, we'd be all right. Well, if all that failed, if only we could get a black DA, we'll be all right. Folks, you cannot piecemeal power. Power is not something you can piecemeal out like a whore giving a menu of the itemizations of the prices of her services. You can't piecemeal out power like that. Power is an all or nothing game. You either got it all or you got nothing. You either got it all or you have nothing, period. End of discussion. And that's what you just found out tonight, because you were all after Mike Brown. You thought, well, Bob McCullough's the problem. We got the cop indicted, but it's the prosecutors. We got to deal with these white prosecutors. If only we had a black DA, then Darren Wilson would be going to prison. If only we had a black DA, George Zimmerman would be going to prison. You've gone to New York City. You got your black DA. You got the cop indicted, and you got him indicted by a black DA. You even got him convicted. Can you get him in jail now? You see, there's levels to this stuff. There's levels to it. And you're sitting up here swinging in the dark at one or two sock puppets. And you're telling yourself, all we got to do is change one or two pieces, and then we can go back to tweeting on Twitter and twiddling on our iPhones and watching Empire. We can go back to that because we really want these folks to stop shooting us so we can get back to watching TV. That's what we really want. Until your number comes up. Then all of a sudden you want everybody to stop watching television so that we can be concerned about what's happening to you. So let me tell you tonight here, because there's going to be a lot of misconceptions about how you got into this, but you've heard it here at the Black Channel before, and now that you're seeing the prophecies come to pass, let me show you here how we're going to get all of that together and string this all together so that you can see. If you're here, if you're listening to anybody else tell you anything else is the answer, turn them off, walk away, get the hell up and leave, because they don't know what the hell they're talking about. You didn't get into this overnight. We've been telling you for years, because it took years to get into this. You didn't get into this overnight. And you need to understand exactly how you got into this if you hope to survive. You were not sold out by Ken Thompson. You were not sold out by him. First and foremost, you were sold out by your parents and your grandparents. They sold your little asses down the river decades ago. Your daddy sold you down the river so they could get sexual access to white women under the name of integration, and your mama sold you down the river decades ago so that they could vent their emotional imbalances and go grab some welfare and food stamps and indulge their psychoses in the comfort of their own homes given to them by the white daddy government. Your parents left you to die, and now you are literally being killed, because when they should have been taking power to ensure that their children were safe, what if you ask your parents today, what were you marching for in civil rights? They will tell you, we were marching so that we could shop at Walmart without getting our freaking heads kicked the hell open. We just wanted to be able to go to the white clothing store and the white restaurant without getting our asses broken wide open. That was what we came for. We wanted to be able to marry white women. I mean, marry whoever we want to marry without somebody trying to shoot us. That was what we were willing to march and bleed and die for. What about preserving we the children? Damn, y'all, there's a white woman over there. And most of you have a slave mentality. You will still sit here to this day and say, you need to respect your parents, respect your elders, respect your parents. They sold you the hell out. They sold you the hell out, and you're still talking about respect your parents. Respect your parents. That's slave talk. The slave masters on the plantation told you the exact same thing. They told you the exact same thing. They told you, you need to respect us. We put a roof over your heads. You need to respect us. You got us in damn chains. You're beating folk and raping them. Your parents talk like slaves from the plantation. And many of you subscribe to that slave mentality. Let's just be honest about it. If your parents left you helpless and you don't have the honesty, the intellectual honesty with yourself to just say that's what happened, oh, well. But you all don't have the courage to look at your parents and say, you know what? These police wouldn't be able to kill us if you had dealt with them when you were our age. What the hell were you doing? And I have invited every single one of you to do the same experiment that I gave to you all. Go ask your parents to show you some pictures from their photo albums of when they were 25 and 26 years old. And I guarantee you, you'll see your daddy sitting there with a brand new car with some bell bottoms on and some gaiters on and some snakeskin boots with the big ass hat. He's going to be styling and profiling and left you in the damn lurch. And your mama's going to be talking about how cute she was and how all the niggas was winking at her at the club, but she ain't got a, she doesn't even have a life insurance policy to pass on to you. And everybody who looks at us knows that we are sitting ducks because you don't have the ability to take care of yourself. And since you don't, you are easy victims. So stuff that they would never think to try with a white child, they will come and try it with you. Why? Because they know that the entire ecosystem is missing. The ecosystem of power for you is absent. You don't have one. All you got, you don't even have your daddy's old snakeskin boots. You don't even have those. You don't even have them. You don't even have those. They traded in your life for a damn car, and today you don't even have the car. You don't even have that. But you're going to tell me that you're respecting your parents. Anybody whose parents left them helpless in the previous generations, that's exactly what they did. And you're talking about respect, that's the nigga that don't need to live. You're breathing air needlessly. You are a useless breather because you have a dog-like intellect and mentality that people who abuse you, not only do you not stop them, you bless them, you worship them, you thank them as they beat you to death. And you are too cowardly, and some of you are just too brain-dead and uneducated and unintelligent to be able to even question that. The second group of people who left you in the lurch were your black bourgeoisie, the Negroes that you all support so much, Michael Jordan, all these blacks who you helped elevate them and then they do nothing for you when you get there. You're sitting up here talking about Kobe Bryant scored 60 points in the game. That's great to hear. I wonder if your ass can make it home without being killed by the police. And Kobe will not say a word in your defense. LeBron James will not say your word in your defense. I don't give a damn about a t-shirt that says I can't breathe. LeBron James has said more to defend illegal aliens and gays than black folk. You want to sit here and talk about how many points they scored in the damn game, but you can't show us a damn thing that they've done for their people to prevent this from happening. But you let some gays run up on LeBron, and he's going to tell you how he supports gay marriage. You let some black folk talk about Tamir Rice being killed. He's like, who that?
I don't know who that is. Who that? Tamir who? I don't know who that is. And Negroes are going to come back. Oh, don't worry, LeBron. Oh, we thank you.
The next group of people who left you hanging is your black business community, when we used to have one. Because most of them chose to integrate out, sell out. We used to have Motown. They sold it out. We used to have BET. I say we, but you never really actually had BET. But we used to have radio stations. We used to have newspapers. We sold them out all over the damn place. Ebony and Jet have gone from being what were institutions to being a damn white-controlled joke today. An absolute joke that actually works against black people. They've got Jamila Lemieux, whose entire purpose for running Ebony Magazine is to engage in her own psychopathic civil war against black society. That's what's running Ebony Magazine today. Essence Magazine is run by a white male today, for those of you who didn't know. The people that they put on TV to represent you are already fully vetted. And that will bring me to Ken Thompson here in just a moment. But the people that white folk bring to you, they wouldn't bring nobody black to you who they haven't already vetted and made sure that he is against his own people. They're not going to promote somebody who's for black folk. They're going to promote someone who is against us. And you know what? Most black folk are silly enough to sign on. Well, we don't want to vote for Romney. He'd be worse than Obama's with these. He'd be worse than Obama's. I can't vote for him. He'd be worse. What would he do that Romney wouldn't do? Well, he did the same thing Bush did, but we can't vote for nobody else because if they did, boys, I tell you, they'd be so much worse. They'd be much worse than Obama's. We are up against the Sambo culture today, and it is running rampant. It's running rampant. And finally, you are up against the fallacy of unity. Any black person talking about black unity today, you are a damn idiot. I don't want black unity because Ken Thompson made it known that he was going to let this Asian walk. And we had a damn coon ass nigga call in on the phone talking about, oh, that's we need to stand behind Thompson. I don't want unity with dumbass niggas. I don't want unity with traitors. I don't want unity with Stacey Dash. You go chase unity with Stacey Dash and Sheriff David Clark. You go chase unity with Larry Elder and Dexter Manley and Stephen A. Smith. You go chase unity with them. Because when you walk over there with them, just remember what end of our weaponry you'll be on. At least the terms of the struggle will be clear. Everybody who's holding on to this idea of black unity, you're traitors and enemies to our society because we do not need nor want black unity. If unity means I got to get together with Amber Rose and China Black and Stephen A. Smith and Charles Barkley and all the other coons and Ken Thompson and Barack Obama, if that means, if that's your definition of unity, to hell with you and unity. I want empowerment. And what that means is that I do not want a level playing field. I want to know the verdict of every jury before it comes in. I want to know the score of every game before it even starts. I want to know what the results are going to be before we even begin this discussion. I want everything stacked on my side so that I may parcel out to everyone else what they can get after my needs have been satisfied. That is empowerment. You all want to sit up and talk about unity, even if it means getting your ass broken open. Well, what if I don't want to get my head broken open with you? Then what? I don't want unity with you if you're seeking weakness. And most of you are satisfied and willing to accept a position of weakness, even if it costs you your life. Most of you are.
Let's disavow ourselves of some misnomers here. I had some people today, and they were telling me that the problem was the police union. Well, the police union is already an apparent force. There is no question about that. Is the police union a factor? Yes, they certainly are. But there's a bigger problem that orchestrated this. The unions are a factor, but there's a bigger problem that orchestrates it. You talk about the Asian community. Let me tell you about the Asians in New York, because most of you have never been to New York City. And even of those of you who have visited there, you ain't been to Chinatown. And even if you did go to Chinatown, you did not get to sit and talk and walk in the streets. I have done all those things. And if you go to New York City, Chinatown is right there on the other side of the financial district. The most expensive real estate in the world, Chinatown is right there on the other side of the street from it. Where the World Trade Tower is and the financial district and all that, Chinatown is right there. When you're going down Hudson Parkway, you boom, go up Canal Street, and there's Chinatown right there. Harlem is way on down the road. Chinatown is right there. They've been trying to get the Asians out since the economic renaissance now for years. The Asians ain't going nowhere. Why? Because they own businesses. Chinatown is a commercial district. It is not a big, huge, multi-billion dollar multinational corporate commercial district. It is a self-owned entrepreneurial grassroots mom and pops commercial district. But let me tell you something else about Chinatown. For those of you who have not been there or do not live in New York City, in Chinatown, you pass by bank after bank after bank. And I'm not talking about Chase. They do have a Chase Bank in Chinatown, but they got a bunch of banks you all never heard of, like East West, China Industrial Bank. Don't believe me? Go look it up for yourselves. When you go up Canal Street alone, just on Canal Street, which is the main street that has the Verizon place and the McDonald's, you pass by bank after bank after bank after bank. The Asians have their own economy, complete with their own banking system. Not in China, not in Korea, not in Vietnam, not in Japan. Right there in the middle of New York City, they've got bank after bank after bank. And that is the reason that the Wall Street banks won't be able to move out the Asians, because the Asians ain't scared of the Wall Street banks, because the Asians got Asian banks. You will not be able to price them out the way you did the niggas. That's what the Asians are saying. You're not going to be able to buy us out and price us out the way you did them. You're here to stay? Well, guess what? So are we. That's what you will find in New York City when you go through Chinatown. You'll find the banks. You'll find financial experts. You'll find real estate. They've got all their own economic infrastructure already in place. And that's why you hear about young black children being gunned down by the police, but not Asians. They're not the ones gunning people down. They're not the ones getting gunned down. They're the ones gunning people down. Well, there was an Asian judge. The Asian judge was just a hood ornament. He didn't do anything. It was your black prosecutor that did that. And it was not because of he was afraid of the Asians. Let's be very, very clear about that. Ken Thompson is not afraid of the Asians. He is not concerned about what has been done. He is trying to put himself into position for what he wants to do next. That is what he's doing. So you see, he's a goner. He's for public office, he's a goner unless he can get the Asians and whites to support him. I predict that what Ken Thompson wants to do is move into the corporate sector. And he has shown them that he is willing to make a blood sacrifice of another black male in order to get their approval and admission. But then again, killing black children, that's just a culture. That's just a way of life. From abortion to your parents of the civil rights generation chasing integration, even if it left you here to die, this is just the tradition. Killing black children, man, that's just a family tradition among our people. It's a sick, demented, twisted, evil tradition, and it's gotta die.
And anyone who wants to promote it has got to stop and be stopped. But Ken Thompson didn't just wake up one day selling you out. Peter Liang didn't just wake up one day skipping his way out of the courtroom. His people have an economy in place. While black folk are in Harlem posting up pictures and selfies smoking weed, I've said this to you all before, and it's time to remind you, and it's going to put a hurting on some of your black asses, but you need it, and you're going to get it here. When you go through Chinatown, will somebody tell me how many dance clubs you see? I'll wait for that one. And I'm not just talking about Chinatown in New York. I'm talking about Chinatown in New York, Chinatown in Philadelphia, Chinatown in San Francisco, Chinatown in Chicago, Chinatown in D.C. I know them all because I walked them all. You talking about them. I'm talking about I've been to them. Show me the dance clubs in Chinatown. Show me liquor stores. Show me the liquor store that they got in Chinatown in New York City. I'll wait for that one. Show me the liquor store. Show me where you can go there. Show me the drive-through daiquiri store in Chinatown. I'll wait for that one. Y'all can call me up, 646-787-1933. You can call me up and tell me. You can send me the link so we can Google Maps it so everybody can see it. So give me a good, let's get the Google Maps up. A whole economic system, a whole economic area. Show me their dance clubs. Show me their liquor stores. Oh, yeah, one more thing, just one more. When you go to Chinatown, how many churches do you count when you go to Chinatown? When you go to Chinatown, how many big churches have you seen there? Because black folk are really good for letting some failed pimp, failed drug dealer turned preacher corral everybody into making a big ass church for him. Tell me how many churches you see in Chinatown in Los Angeles. I know it because I've been there. I will tell you, I did see one, but not where you would have thought you'd see it. But I tell you, I did find one. I found one. I did not find two. I found one, and that was out on the West Coast. You will look in vain in New York. You will look in vain in other places. Now, I want you to understand this here. I'm not sitting up here lacing you with game tonight. I'm lacing you with business. Because their people are able to say, we've got an economic infrastructure in place. That is what their people are able to say. We've got economic means in place. We are ready for war. We're ready for battle. Black folk going to Chinatown to be consumers. Asians go to Chinatown to solidify their piece of power. But black people tell me we don't need power. We just need to know our history. We just need to know our history. These people have a power structure in place. You see Asian judges, like in this case, he didn't have to do anything. The fix was already in. He didn't have to lift a finger. He didn't have to do anything. Everybody knew the outcome of this except black folk from the very beginning. And what they have demonstrated to you is that there are no circumstances under which they can murder a black person and not get away with it. There is no condemnable circumstances under which you can kill a black person. Anything is fair game. Anything. And we will have black folks sitting here arguing with me. They'll be sitting here arguing with me that we don't need to get our money together. We don't have to do that. Everybody is in on it. That's the takeaway from tonight's broadcast. Folk, everybody is in on it. You ain't got no friends at City Hall because you haven't cultivated any. Did black people choose Ken Thompson? Who chose him? Did we choose him? Was he one of our people from our neighborhood? Did we choose him?
Did black people choose Barack Hussein Obama? Did you choose him? Or did Tom Daschle bring him to you? This is going to make you hella uncomfortable, but somebody needs to tell you the truth about it. Tell you about how your parents lied to you, about how your parents exploited you, about how your parents betrayed you, and how it all rolled downhill from there. And tonight, you're just sitting ducks. There are some of you listening to me tonight. I want you to understand this and grab this thing. Understand something here. Tonight, there are a number of you who are listening to me tonight, and one of you will not make it home. In the next 5 years, there's one of you listening to me tonight who, because of the police, you will not make it home. That is the consequence of not building an economy and thinking that it's a game and a joke, thinking that all you got to do is get on Twitter and Facebook and post up about smoking weed. You just sit there and keep smoking it. These people are literally murdering you in the streets, literally. And there is nothing you can do. Carolyn Mosby out there in Baltimore, some folk were a little quick to give her props. Now they got questions about her. Fox up there in Chicago, now you got questions about her. You don't have an infrastructure in place. Who brought these people? Where did they come from? Did you build them? Did you handpick them? Were they handpicked by your people, the Asian judges and the Jewish judges and the Arab judges and the white judges are? Were they handpicked by your people? Or did you just sit back and say, well, don't worry, the white folks don't bring us saviors. They're going to bring us saviors. Ooh, there he is now, Barack Obama. There he is. We just got to support him. We got to support him. We got to support. He black like us. Obama is not black like us. Barack Obama is an inter-ethnic traitor who is totally divorced from black people and is at war with black society. He had no connections to us before he had presidential aspirations. He has none today, and he will have none when he leaves office. He has no experience with black people. Show me his black community that he associates with now. Show me his group of black friends even since he became president. He's still got more white folk around him than black people. David Plouffe, David Axelrod, we can go down the list. He's got more white folk around than anything else, but you'll still have black people doing that. And this is why I tell you that that was why my final point was that the ultimate problem that we have is the problem of black itself, because we are including people in our group as black who are not. Everyone who wants to argue with us about Ken Thompson, those aren't black people. Those aren't Africans. Those are traitors. Those are melanated traitors. Those are melanated turncoats. Those are not black people. Just because you're my color don't mean you're my kind. And all my skin folk ain't my kin folk. And that's real ass talk. It is time for us to do away with the people who wish to compromise. If you are unwilling to say that Obama is a traitor, I didn't say he did some bad thing, bad thing. Oh, Barack Obama is no better than David Duke. Barack Obama and David Duke are one and the same. If you are unwilling to say that, then you are against black people, because you're on the side that says, let him keep doing it. Let's see how bad it can get. Let's just hang on and see if they come for me. That's why you see Barack Obama standing hand in hand with George W. Bush, and you sit there and blow it off. You sit there and shake it off. You know what the truth is? The truth is so many of y'all are so used to being raped. Let me say that again. So many of you are so used to being raped. You're so used to being sexually molested. You're so used to seeing your mamas be whores and sluts. You're so used to your daddies being gays and homos and being tricks out there in the streets and being a nothing and a nobody. You're so used to that that you have become damaged adults who don't see any problem whoring yourself to the world and having no standards for yourself to the world, even if it kills your ass. That's the simple truth of it. So you have no problem with Obama lying to your face. Hell, your daddy lied to your face since you was a child. He said he was going to come see you, never did. Say he come send some money for you, never did. You saw him take care of other kids, not you, and you just sat up here and said, well, I'm going to love him anyway. He my elder, he my daddy. I'm going to take care of him anyway. And now you've grown up to be adults accepting that kind of behavior. Barack Obama saw it from you and said, hell, I might as well get these niggas to vote for me. I ain't going to do a damn thing for them. They're too stupid. Oh, I wasn't supposed to say that. Somebody else will try to figure out a way to water it down. Somebody else will try to figure out a way to dilute it. Somebody else will try to find a more diplomatic way of saying it. I'm not here to make friends tonight, people. I'm not dependent on you. I don't pay my bills on 7 a.m. DVDs, and I'm not going to buy a damn thing from me here. I've been doing this for over a decade, and I will continue to do so because it's the damn truth. And if nobody ever speaks it, I will. Because I make my own money, and I'm telling you that these are traitors. And you don't want to say that because you're used to seeing your mama get smacked on the ass by random men, and you're used to seeing your daddy get punked out by white folks because he was so desperate to get next to the boss's daughter or to get next to some hood rat down the damn street. And you've carried those same inadequacies and those same fallacies and those same defects with you. And that's why what I'm saying tonight is hurting your ass, because you've been carrying them with you. Now that it doesn't bother you. I'm sitting there watching them. There was a video of them. Sandra Bland has a street sign. Was that her mother who was taking the sheet off the street sign? Was that her mother? Was that her mom? I'm going to say it tonight. It's going to piss you off. But I'm going to say it. Go take a look at that video. Is that her mother? I hope that's not her mother who was slowly pulling the sheet off of the sign. And she tried to make it real dramatic, slowly pulling it off. I hope that wasn't her mother, because as soon as the sheet fell down, you saw her sitting there dancing the jig like the church folks do. Was this about your daughter, or was this about you? I'm self-built. I can tell the truth about these things no matter who it pisses off. Was that for your daughter, or was that for you? We need some black people who will be uncompromising. We need some black people who will not compromise. And I won't do it tonight, because they're burying us. They're burying us, and they have bought off so many of us at this point. So many black folk are bought off today that it's like the walking damn dead, except you don't see their skin rotting. Although I will say one thing. I will say one thing here. You got a bunch of funny shit-headed niggas out there. Have you noticed that? The black fella who was defending Darren Wilson and Ferguson, the black dude with the damn camera. I mean, this nigga got a head shaped like a bell pepper. Did you see that? I'm sitting there looking at him. Wow. His head looks like a damn Klingon. Well, guess what? Ken Thompson's head, same thing. I'm just saying, we got a bunch of cookie jar head shaped niggas. And next thing you know, they're all on TV. They're at the district attorney's office. The white folk look for a nigga with a funny shaped head. I'm saying this to you tonight, but I'm not really joking. I'm serious. I'm not really joking about it. You see a bunch of funny shaped headed Negroes and they say, hey, he's got to have some problems. Let's put him in office. His people won't tell the difference. You all think I'm joking. I'm really not. And by the way, I'll say one more thing. You notice a bunch of water balloon-headed niggas in the NFL, too. Have you noticed that? I've noticed a bunch of black folk in the NFL. I won't say any names here. I'm just saying, got heads shaped like Kool-Aid jugs. But I digress. They know the game. They know who they've elevated. They sit here and want to talk to you all about credentials, credentials, credentials. Who did you get your credentials from? You got them from that white power structure, and they got their eye on you. They've got their eye on you. You're so late to the damn game, but these people got their eye on you. And I'm telling y'all tonight, I don't care who it is, Marilyn Mosby, Kim Fox, whoever. If they are a black person in office, we need to do a wholesale bottom to the top reevaluation of everybody.
I don't care how long we've known them. Everybody has got to check in and everybody has got to resubmit their credentials to demonstrate to us and illustrate to us what you've done and what you stand for. But I'm not giving out any free rides. You're not getting any, we're not going to give you any benefit of any doubt because we got to doubt everybody today. We got to doubt everybody today. Because we got traitors everywhere and we're acting like everything's all right. No, it's really not. I'll see about taking a couple of phone calls here. I'm not going to be on terribly long here tonight. I'll just try to take one or two phone calls. Caller from 917, you're on live with the Black Channel. Caller from 917-328, you're on live.
Hello, Jason Black?
Yes, you're on. Take your phone off speaker. Wake up.
Phone off speaker. Hello, can you hear me better now?
Yes, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Tony. I'm from Brooklyn, New York.
Tony from New York, what's on your mind?
First, I want to take the time out to give you props and thank you for doing this channel for us. I voted for the DA, and like you said, he was brought up by white supremacy, and I'm just shocked that I spoke to somebody today at a restaurant, and he said that it was the Asian judge that brought everything through. And I was telling him that that's not true. Our own DA did that. Our own DA. So
Black folk are real good for making excuses. Black folk are really good for making excuses. Black people are the only people who refuse to clean house. We refuse to clean house and just acknowledge when you've got a rotten ass nigga sitting next to you. Your mamas do it. This nigga ain't never held a job, ain't never worked when he had swag when she was 16, and he's helped screw up her whole life, and she's dreaming of the next nigga with swag she can get with, but she's not going to hold him accountable, and she's not going to clean house. We'll sit up here and play this game the whole damn time, but we don't want to clean house and just admit, you know what? This guy is against us. It doesn't matter if he's the same color as us. Clearly, he is against us based on results. Then we wonder why it is our businesses don't work and our media companies don't last, and you can't even keep a singing group together more than 3 years. Go ahead and continue.
Yes, and well, they had the primaries today. And I decided not to vote because our vote doesn't matter anymore. And I don't think it did. The civil rights movement was a waste of time, in my opinion, because it didn't do anything to help our people. We had everything we had. We had everything we needed within each other. Just because, like you've said plenty of time, even in this broadcast, that we wanted to mix with these white, with these Caucasians or these devils, and marry them, have sexual privileges with them, that we would give our lives for that. And I look to the seniors today, and I think they have failed us. And they were the true traitors of our race, Mr. Black.
We've got Negroes out here today that have a suicidal obsession with getting a white acceptance. And as I explained in our documentary, 7 a.m., the reason that most black people, and particularly black males, keep trying to look helpless, keep trying to be defenseless, keep trying to keep their heads low, is because we think that that will make them more susceptible to giving us what we're ultimately after. But that's what all this obsession with powerlessness is really about, making white society, and now at this point, non-black society, comfortable with us so that we can gain sexual access, because we ain't building nothing.
if we were actually building something, if we were actually building a black town like they got Chinatown and Greek town and Little Hialeah and Little Havana, if we were actually building a black town, we wouldn't be obsessed with interracial sex. We'd be too busy building skyscrapers to be trying. We'd be too busy stacking money to try to stack hoes. We would be doing that instead. Instead, what you end up with are guys like Ken Thompson. Ken Thompson, who is in trouble with females in his office, saying he's all he wants to do is sleep with folk and chase draws and all that mess. That's what he's in trouble for. So that gives you some insight into him and what he's there for. He didn't get there to serve black people. He didn't get there even to serve justice. He got there to serve himself. And that's exactly what he's doing. And mark my words. If he wants to run for re-election, you'll have a bunch of black folk out there saying, well, we need to vote for him because we can't vote Republicans. I mean, man, Thompson been bad, boy. There'll be wusses, man. There'll be wusses.
We're using our votes wrong, just like I have. I've made the same mistake. When Clinton was out, I voted for Clinton. I voted for Obama twice. I didn't have any political awareness of who am I voting for. And that's what we have to do nowadays. We don't have time to do, well, because he's black, he's vote for him anymore. I've learned my mistake, and someone that's dead today, that's dead, is paying the price for my choice. One of my own brethren is dead because I made that choice. And I don't want anybody else of our people to make the same mistake anymore. We have to get some kind of political awareness and also take pride in ourselves in developing some kind of education. We don't want to get educated anymore. We don't want to get educated anymore. And that's our problem. And I'm not talking about learning European education, black education.
What does black education mean?
What I mean by black education is learning. Excuse me, forget about black education. I'm sorry for even saying that part as far as black education. Learning your surroundings, especially black people in America. You got to know the game. It's all fixed, like you've said once before.
Okay, let me tell you the game. Let me tell you the education that we need. Black people need powernomics.
Black people need
the education of powernomics. Dr. Claude Anderson said that black people are suffering because we do not have a black community. There are three things that you need to have a black community. Understand this, son. Three things that you need. Number one, you need an economy. Number two, you need a code of conduct. Number three, you need politicians that respect and obey your needs. Those are the three pillars that Dr. Claude Anderson laid out to build a community. Those are the three things that define a community. Those are the three things that define a community. But it starts with the economics. And what we have economics is another way of saying I know why I'm here. Economics is basically, it just means how you use the Earth's resources. It's another way of saying I know why I'm here. Black people are suffering because we don't know why we're here. The Asians got off the boats, got off the planes, and made Chinatown. They know why they're here. The Hispanics come across the border from Mexico and go straight to Mexican town, go straight to East LA, to their businesses, to their people. They know why they're here. The Arabs get off in Detroit, go straight to their people. They know why they're here. Black folks sitting in Harlem hoping that they can get some rent control from their white and Jewish and Asian and Arab landlords. We don't know why we're here. And we got a bunch of niggas telling you that the reason for being here is so you can sit up here and fantasize about fictitious ancient religions and smoke some weed. That's the reason for being. Brother, at this point, it's not even, I don't even know if we can call it genocide anymore. At this point, we have to move it over into the category of evolution. Evolution does not make concessions for an organism that does not fight to survive. Evolution does not make concession for you. Evolution doesn't have a part of it that favors an organism that does everything to hurt its own survival and is dependent on someone else to make sure it keeps living. Evolution is built upon the precept that those who fight through adversity are who will survive. Everybody else goes away. I've told you this all here before. The term survival of the fittest. Where did that term come from? Most people think that term came from Charles Darwin. It didn't. It came from Herbert Spencer. Charles Darwin got it from Herbert Spencer. Herbert Spencer was an economist.
Oh,
survival of the fittest and natural selection, those are economic terms that were co-opted by Charles Darwin to give him a frame of reference to be able to explain evolution. But understand, he didn't create that term. Herbert Spencer did. Don't believe me? Look it up for yourself. Look it up for yourself. We don't understand that the deck was stacked decades ago, centuries ago. And we're sitting up here playing a game where we can sit out on the poach and that there's going to be a welfare office and food stamps. The black males, depending on some hoe to lay up on, the black females, depending on white daddy's largesse, and they've got us right where they want us. They have used black folk to drive down housing values. They've used black folk to open up corridors. And now that we are no longer needed, it's time to move us out. And they are doing it by any and all means, environmentally, socially, educationally, academically, and now outright militaristically and ethnic genocide. That's how serious it is now. And the real tragedy of this, of supporting people like Ken Thompson and Barack Obama, if you're a black male who still does it, you are actually supporting not the murder of Tamir Rice, but someday the murder of yourself. Because when those flashing blue lights come up behind you one dark night in America, it's going to be you and the white supremacist race soldier, and there won't be anybody because you told the world that the way Barack's doing it is just fine by you. The problem is white supremacy, but we need to clean house as black people. And that's from the bottom to the top with your friends, with your family. We have a coon culture. Tariq can't make enough awards. Tariq can't make enough awards for all the black folk who need to get one. You got 10 or 12 of them in your family, at your school, in your church. We don't have enough certificates to give out. Brother, there's not enough trees on earth to print up all the certificates of achievement in bachelor's of cookery that all these folk in black society would need to get. We'd have to cut down all the rainforests. Watch out. They might be coming for you.
Hey, they're coming down my block now, Mr. Black.
They might be coming for you. Be careful. Oh, we think we see him. And it's not even a joke anymore. Brother, I'm not joking. How many black males? We're talking about, there's a case in Chicago right now. The police killed this fella. They were looking for somebody else. The DAs threw out evidence that would have helped him, helped prosecute the cops. And they had to resign for it, but there's still no justice for him. They were looking for somebody else, wound up killing him. How many times have we seen that story now? They're just in the neighborhood, saw you. Hey, you look like somebody we're after. Wink, wink. Next thing we know, your ass is dead. You're just sitting there. How many stories have we heard of black men just sitting on the front steps and the police came up? Hey, you look like someone we're looking for. He's not the guy they're looking for. He's just as dead.
Way too many stories, Mr. Black. Way too
many. We used to be able to say these things in a hyperbolic way. We can't even do that anymore. They're all literal. There is no example. There is no extreme example anymore. There isn't a worst-case scenario anymore because they've all come to life. All of them. I'll let you have the last word.
Well, Mr. Black, it's do or die time. Like the economics person you spoke about said, you know, we got, as a people, we have to make our minds up. Either we're going to survive or we're going to let them take us out of off this planet.
It's as simple as that. Thank you very much for joining us here tonight. Please do give us a call again.
Phone lines are filled up here. I'm not really trying to stay all night, but caller from 202, you're on live with the Black Channel. Caller from 202-290, you're on live with the Black Channel. Okay, if anybody sees 202-290-5640, give them a call. Check and see if they're all right out there. Let's hope they haven't gotten themselves injured. Caller from 813, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Yeah, Jason Black.
What's your name? Where you calling from?
Tampa, Florida. I'm 16 years old.
Okay,
and,
stop. Stop. Florida is a state. What city are you in?
Oh, Tampa. I'm sorry.
You're in Tampa. And what's your name?
Dwayne.
Dwayne from Tampa. What's on your mind?
Yes, I'm 16, and I'm trying to get into broadcasting, and I enjoy your program. I just want to know, like, what type of how you articulate your thoughts, and how you became so articulate. So that's what my question is, because I want to take broadcasting in college, and
you talk.
You know, I just want to
you talk, you read, and you talk. You communicate. You communicate all the time. You don't. You spend more time listening, but you also spend more time perfecting yourself. Communication is an internal skill, not an external skill, contrary to popular belief. So it's about perfecting yourself. First of all, learn the English language. Learn it upside down, inside out, and backwards. And that doesn't just mean opening a dictionary. It means mastering the language, mastering how you speak it. Webster's Dictionary is online right now. It will pronounce the words for you. The reason that we don't excel at anything other than football and basketball is because we don't try to be the best in the world at it. You must be able to speak the English language better than white people. You must be able to talk to them and recall these phrases better than they can. If you are not the smartest, most educated, most knowledgeable person about the English language in the room, you are failing as a black man. W.E. Du Bois, Booker T. Washington, Carter G. Woodson, Malcolm X. We can go down the line. Frederick Douglass, none of them were born speaking the English language with proficiency. None of them. None of them grew the teenage years speaking it with proficiency. They all made a decision one day to master it. And you can actually hear Malcolm X's evolution in etymology and articulation as he got older. Listen to his first speeches and then listen to his last ones. To listen to his television interviews. He got better as time went on. So all you have to do is listen to yourself talk. Listen to actors like Andre Brower, if we're going to talk about black men. Andre Brower, Denzel Washington. Don't listen to no hood niggas sitting up here talking with a twang and slang and trying to be the most down nigga they can be. Damn that. Listen to some people who can talk. James Earl Jones, Sidney Poitier. You don't have to follow their lifestyles, but listen to some people who can articulate and then start trying to be better than they are at it. Listen to it word for word. Oh, yeah, and one more thing that black males have to get over feeling self-conscious about speaking the language well. If you don't have at least three people in the hood telling you, ooh, you talking all proper, you're failing. You should be making them feel bad about how bad they speak the language. You should be walking rings around them. If they're not taking notice of it, you ain't trying hard enough. You're not doing it good enough. If they're not uncomfortable around you, you ain't doing it right. That's one more thing. The more distance you put between you and them, the more that they feel uncomfortable when you start talking, the better you are. That's one more thing. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yes, sir.
Find somebody with a made-up name. Go find somebody with a made-up name and talk to them. If they're comfortable talking to you, if they don't tell you something like, ooh, you talk like them folks on the other side of town. I'm not going to say talk like white folks. If they don't say that, you're not doing it right. You'll know you're doing it right when they're like, ooh, here he come with all that fancy talk. That's right. Now you know that you transcended them. I'll let you have the last word.
Black first.
Black first, brother. Thank you very much for your call here. Being able to talk is like any other skill in life. Practice, practice, more practice, practice, repetition, practice, practice. Oh, yeah. Did I say practice? And, finally, practice some more. Caller from 330, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Black first, this is Marty out of Ohio.
Brother Marty out of Ohio, what's on your mind, brother?
a couple of things.
Turn your speakers
one,
down behind you. Turn your speakers off because I'm hearing me back there.
Okay, 1 second here.
This is Brother Marty out of Ohio.
Okay.
He is our resident IT expert. What's on your mind?
Is that better, sir?
Yes, what's on your mind?
Okay, real quickly. Two things. One, the one brother just mentioned that he wanted to develop his vocabulary to an astute level. The one piece of advice I can give him is you mentioned to him also to listen to other people who can enunciate and articulate their thoughts properly. I will add to him also what he should do is challenge himself by reading books that are difficult that make his head hurt. An example would be a book that I don't find very easy at all to read, but it's very worthwhile. It's Souls of Black Folk, W.E.B. Du Bois. He did not write that book on his fifth grade level. He wrote that from the perspective of being a Harvard PhD. And as you read books that are very difficult, that use terminology that you're not used to being exposed to, your language will naturally change because as you start to introduce this commonly to your mind, your subconscious accepts it over time, and you start to think in those terms. So
well, it's called immersion.
Advice,
if you go to a Spanish country, it's just like being a child. You learn to speak a language by being immersed in it. You go to a Spanish country, you learn it by hearing people, and then that's how you gain proficiency. You learn it by interacting with it as much as possible. Like you said, you're saying challenge yourself with it. You learn it by immersing it. You learn it by hearing other people, by reading it, by playing it yourself, reading it to yourself, speaking it out loud, hearing other people do it wrong, and then correcting it even in your own head or right in front of them. It doesn't matter. But hearing those kind of things, it takes work. It takes practice. And you're right. You immerse yourself in as many facets and places of it as you can. No time for the little kid stuff here. You're going to have to work at it, work at it, work at it.
Absolutely. My second point, which is the reason I called, was we were talking about the difference between current black culture and current black misculture, let's be honest, and Asian culture. And this is a discussion I've been having with a few individuals over the last few months here, because I tell them, I say, one of the reasons why I offer my advice and my information on how you can get into the tech world and put down the burger job and put down the Target job and put down the Walmart job. And one of the reasons I know it can work is because I've seen different groups do it. Particularly, I see how Asians pull it off. If I walk into a tech job, there's a 50% chance I'm going to be the only black man in the team. But there's a 30% chance there definitely are not going to be one Asian person there. Matter of fact, it's probably a 50% chance, I would say, that any job that I walk onto, there'll be more Asians on that team than black folks, including me. I know what they're doing. I know from the tech side what they're doing. I watch and I study their culture. Some of the things I figured out, one, they push tech to the nth degree. Two, they push science to the nth degree. Three, they push medicine. It's all related into STEM. When you go into the master's and PhD programs of universities, you're subject to find more Asians than you are subject to find white people anymore. I went to my alma mater university last week to take care of some business. They want to take the bottom floor of the computer science department building and change that into an English and second language department because they know they can make more money by inviting students from overseas over to the university because those students, particularly from Asia, tend to want to stay for master's and PhDs, which end up being more revenue coming into the school. The schools are starting to cater to the Asians even more than the whites. So where do you think that puts the black folks at?
It puts us on the road to annihilation is where it puts us. That's where it puts us. Brother, we have officially, it's no longer an estimate. It's no longer a guesstimation. It's no longer a prediction. It's no longer a warning. We have officially fallen behind the Asians. Today, we used to say a white person could kill you with impunity. We must now say an Asian can kill you with impunity. We talk about Africa and the Asians cloud over there. We talk about how black folk are downtrodden by Latinos in Brazil and Venezuela and places like that. Brother, we're oppressed by Asians here, not by whites anymore. Now we're oppressed by whites, Latinos, and Asians. This is a damn disgrace to say that. We have officially fallen behind the Asians, academically, socially, economically,
We've fallen behind them now. But I will have a bunch of folk telling me, well, it's not our fault. And then I'll ask them about weed. And they'll say, we need to legalize that, man. Ain't nothing wrong with it, little bud. And then you go among the Asians. They are as straight as they can be. This, the enemy we have is within. The enemy we have is within.
I want to finish off by saying two things. One, if you get a chance or as much as you can, around outside looking in, this is what I do. I look at different subcultures that are at the top of the scale and watch what they're doing. Watch what the Asians are doing. I would invite anyone listening here to take this challenge on. Watch what the Chinese are doing right now. I find them very interesting because what things they're doing now, they're basically thumbing their nose at the United States right now. And they set up an economy and infrastructure where they could do it. Because they wrote an industry and said, okay, you build your stuff over here, we'll do it cheaper. But they got the blueprints to half the stuff we make anymore. And they can make it cheaper. So now you have different websites set up and different companies say, we'll sell the Chinese version to you cheaper without the American brand. Well, the thing is, the Chinese didn't trick off the money. The Chinese have two things that they're buying up in lock, stock, and barrel. And from a finance perspective, I see this even in a chart. They're buying up precious metals and they're buying up U.S. debt. They quit buying up U.S. debt because the U.S., they realize you just can't pay it no more. So now they're buying up gold and stocking up to thinking about doing another currency on their yuan that's going to be backed by gold. And this article's coming out. Look, I'm telling you a lie. Look it up on the internet. This article's coming out every day talking about this. Even in mainstream financial and business, I read it in Forbes last week. They're coming out with a new currency, and they say it will be backed by gold, and they won't take dollars for it. We need dollars to get oil. Well, that of course that's true. We didn't have a treaty with Iraq and Russia. And you think going up and down the street with a pair of Jordans and a joint in your hand is going to deal with that?
No, they'll tell you that they're going to tell you that the dollar is going to collapse. And we're all going to get carried away in the rapture back to Africa. That's what they'll tell you. We can just sit here. Everything's going to be all right. Jesus will provide. There's going to be a magic carpet that's going to carry us all back to Kemet. They haven't regressed into childhood. They have regressed into outright fantasy. I'll let you have the last word.
Brothers, sisters, listening, please, let me make this plea to you right now. If you are listening to the sound of my voice and you're working a job and you are not making at least 45 to 50 grand a year, talk to me. We can get you in tech within 12 to 16 months and get you at that pay scale. I don't charge you this information. I want more of us in there because there's a big hole in there that still can be filled. But if you let this opportunity go, and you do not have the financial resources to put money together to go ahead and buy a building, to go ahead and buy land, to go ahead and buy resources, then you're really stuck. I have one lifeline I can offer people, and I'm offering to you. If you're not at that level, you're behind the eight ball, honestly. If you ain't at 50K a year or better, you're behind the eight ball. Because Asians, a person from overseas walks over here on a boat from the Middle East, Asia, China, India, walks over here, studies for their own for 6 to 8 months, and they walk into a job making $100,000 a year. I didn't say anything about college. Heck, some of them didn't graduate high school. And they're putting their money together, and they're buying resources. They're buying land. They're building businesses. They're buying precious metals. They're buying U.S. debt. They're buying companies. They're forming consortiums so that their children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren can go to their own institutions for free. So please, if you ain't at that level, get with me, get with someone you know, and get to that level quick. Because until you get your money together, you're fighting a battle you probably can't win. And they're counting on you not winning because they're using the resources out here, and they're shooting us in the middle of the street as a result of that. Black First.
Black First, brother, thank you very much for checking in with us here tonight. If you all want to get in touch with Marty, You can all shoot me a message on Facebook if you need to. It is Marty Nicholson on Facebook. But like I say, if you need to get in touch with him, we'll definitely do that. The Black Channel is the only free resource out there in America for Black people that walks you step by step through the technical necessities that you need. I was the only person ever, and some folk who have their own internet broadcast, a lot of folk didn't like it that I did it. I took people step by step through the process of how to set up your own internet broadcast. I walk you through it step by step. So you don't have to sit up here and keep begging Crispy the Frog or anybody else, because I was the one who showed them how to do it. So I said, you know what? I'm not going to have people wondering anymore. The white folk are not going to tell you like that. I sat down and I said, you know what? I'm going to show you how to do it. I got the videos online. You can look it up on my YouTube channel, The Black Authority. It sits there and step by step with screenshots, step by step tells you the cables to buy, the equipment to get, how to configure them, how to set them up so that you can do exactly what I do here. You can get better equipment if you want to. You can be more flashy, but at least you will have the basics that you need. We take it step by step. It charges you nothing. I then spoke about building your own media empire, making your own movies. I took you step by step through the process, complete with the equipment. And then I got up and I did it. I told you about crowdfunding and what it takes to be successful at it. And then I went off and raised $100,000. I sat up here and told you about how to build your own brand. We do these things free of charge, and you would think, after Black Empowerment 1, you would think that we would have a legion of Black folk ready to ride today. You would think we would. And for those of you who remain, if you don't get serious, just understand, and I don't say this threateningly, there might be a bullet out there waiting for you. And I don't say that threateningly. I'm saying there might be one out there waiting for you. Caller from 412, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hi, this is Arlene from Pittsburgh.
Arlene from Pittsburgh, what's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to stress that regarding how the Peter Lang situation, the whole scenario played out, I want to stress that you and Professor Blacktruth called it. You called it ahead of time, and I listened. And especially when Professor Blacktruth did the video with the Asians protesting on behalf of Peter Lang, I thought to myself, well, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. That cop is not going to face any jail time. And I do appreciate what you do at the Black Channel, because it has definitely helped me step up my game to even be more aware. I thought I was aware before, but to just have someone just point certain trends and scenarios out, you could almost predict what the outcome is going to be. And as sad as it is to say that, I can't say that I'm surprised, because you called it. Called it.
Do you realize now what they've done with this string of acquittals? Not in 1965. Black folk wanted to swallow the lie that their parents had vanquished the demons, had slain the dragons, and that white supremacy and white racism were no more. They were all gone. All of that's gone with Bull Connor. All of that's gone with Lincoln Rockwell. All of that's gone with Strom Thurmond. That we're free at last, free at last. We have arrived. And then we asked you, how do you think you've arrived? I can buy a cell phone, and I can buy shoes without me getting lynched or shot on the way home from the store. And somebody with an ADHD, remedial GED, dumbass Sesame Street sucking elementary school mentality intellect like that will get every single one of us killed. And unfortunately, too many Black folk have that, because the demons weren't killed. We have made no progress. And this verdict today lets you know we've made no progress as Black people. Dr. Claude Anderson said we've made no progress as Black people since we left the plantations, except socially. And now with verdicts like this, I would challenge that notion that we've even made progress socially. Today, we have gotten it verified. We've made no progress, none. They can kill us anytime, any place, anywhere. Do you realize how high the bar has been raised now to get a cop convicted for killing a Black person? Within the judicial system, do you know how high they just raised that bar to get a conviction? Basically, the cop would have to be caught on video shooting you in the back and saying, I hate niggers, yep, I killed them, that's basically what they would have to do to get convicted. Anything short of that, that is not considered a crime. They have raised the bar that astronomically high now.
I am aware of that, and even with the cop on camera saying nigger, there's still no guarantee he's going to get convicted, because there's too many of us that still don't believe we have been at war. They still don't want to accept it, and you have a solid group of people who listen to the Black Channel. We are aware of it. We know. And those of us, we're trying to move forward. I understand there's going to take a thinning of the herd. I understand not everyone is going to come into this. I'm well aware of that. But those of us who've been trying to warn others, it is time to move forward. It's an ongoing discussion in my household, and I'm glad you touched on Barack Obama tonight, because I'm aware of too many Black folks who just lay down their arms and say, okay, we don't have to fight anymore because we have a Black president. And I was the one that got caught up in the hype of it all. And during the second term, I said, hey, wait a minute. He really isn't going to do anything for Black folks. He really isn't. And when I was saying that, people thought I was crazy. Then I listened to the Black Channel. I'm like, oh, no, I'm not crazy. My intuition was correct. And I was even telling my youngest daughter, I said, why do you think Black people are getting slaughtered at the rate that they're getting slaughtered? It's not that they never stopped being slaughtered. It's just too many of us were satisfied with having a Black president that they pretended or in complete denial that we are still at war with white supremacy. So it's been an ongoing discussion. And I said, and guess what? They're not finished with us. The fact that we did not hold anyone accountable, we didn't call any Black leaders to the carpet, especially not now having a Black president. I was telling my daughter, I said, you know what? It has taken away our fight and our bite from us. And it's made us docile, and it's made us fit, and it's made us dense. So it's getting to the point that certain things that are happening to us, I'm not going to full on say that we deserve it, but because we didn't take heed to the warning, not just recently, I'm going way back to Garvey, okay? He showed us what we need to do, and we didn't listen. And this is all that we're going through is a result of us being hard-headed, plain and simple.
I want to throw in one more thing here today about segueing off of what you just said. Black people's ridiculous, idiotic, slavish, bullheaded, moronic, yes, I'm going to throw that many adjectives in there, ridiculously infantile, childish behavior in promoting and defending Barack Obama, that is now going to be a template that every single white politician is going to use. Hillary Clinton is using it now. Why would you be holding me accountable? If you wouldn't hold Barack Obama accountable as a Black man watching Black folk get slaughtered by whites, you wouldn't hold him accountable. What the hell makes you think you can hold Hillary Clinton accountable? And I'll go even further. I just watched the most disgraceful. And I'm going to say this right now because, you see, I'm not worried about getting an interview with him. The most disgraceful interview ever on The Breakfast Club. Charlamagne was cooning and buffooning to the utmost. You've got Black men are being locked up in prison at an unprecedented rate. We're being murdered by police at an unprecedented rate. They sat there with Hillary Clinton for a half hour. First damn thing out of this jigaboon's mouth was Hillary Clinton gave me the brother handshake. And she played dominoes too when she won. She said, domino, MF-er. Right there in front of her, he went straight into coon mode, trying to get laughs, trying to be the damn class clown, trying to get a laugh out of Hillary Clinton to show how entertaining he can be. And DJ Envy sitting right there, and Angela Yee, all of them there, a circle of coons and coonettes, laughing it up. Charlamagne can walk his ass outside of those doors and get freaking killed tonight. Right there in the city he's in. And he didn't think that saving his own ass was a priority. He thought being the damn class clown was a priority. And I'm going to tell you one more thing. I know that their radio station might have told them she has agreed to an interview with us on the stipulation that there are questions we cannot ask. You cannot ask about three strikes. You cannot ask about the judicial system. You have to ask about these things right here. You can't ask these other things. I would have said, okay, boss, I would have let her get up in that studio. She would have sat down. She would have gotten in front of the microphone. I would have sat there and said, you know what? I'm very glad we got Hillary Clinton in the house here tonight. Now, I need to ask you about your husband and three strikes and y'all support for it. And I know that this may be the end of my job today. So y'all back there in the back, you can start typing up my pink slip. You can start printing it out. I will go down in flames for this. I will die on this hill. They wanna crucify me. They wanna put me in front of the firing squad. I'll go down for this one. Because he got fired in Philadelphia for a hell of a lot less. Charlemagne got his ass fired in Philadelphia for a hell of a lot less than this. So I just sat there and said, the people can come get me. You can come have security come walk in here if you want to. But I want to ask you about three strikes because I got my brothers in prison doing triple damn digits for a gram of marijuana and your husband put them there. And I want to know what the hell I should vote for you for when I got brothers doing triple digits. Didn't kill nobody. But we got white pedophiles getting out in months. You explain yourself here and how you got the gall to ask for our vote. Y'all can print my pink up now. I ain't going nowhere. Let me lock this door while I'm at it. Oh, we're at our campaign headquarters. You can run over here if the hell you want to. You've been asked that. You're not going to get any softball questions here. My people's lives are on the line. She went from the Jews. They asked about Israel. Israel is a metaphor for our lives are on the line. What are you going to do to save Jewish people? Our lives are on the line. That Israel is a euphemism for our lives. Latinos, immigration is a euphemism for our lives. It's a figure of speech for our lives. For black folk, you need to do this right here. Charlemagne, you are a world-class trophy-winning coon. And as far as I'm concerned, you will never be able to redeem yourself from what you did. But then again, hasn't Charlemagne done videos where he said that he would coon for the right amount of money? He didn't see nothing wrong with it. Hasn't he done a video saying that? I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. I think he did say that for the right amount of money, he would do it. Well, he's damn sure proved it. And so did the rest of them. DJ, Envy, Angela Yee. One of y'all should have had the guts to stand up and say something. One of you should have had the guts to stand up and say, you know what? I might get fired for this today, but so be it. I can get another job. I can't get another life. And I can't get myself respect back and see this one day. And I have to explain to them why I was a coward. And baby, I couldn't stand up for my own life because I wanted to keep this penny in the ass job that these white folk had for me. Y'all can come get this damn job, but this heifer gonna answer me today.
Absolutely. When I saw the interview was posted on Facebook, I didn't even bother watching it. What I did was I got caught up on past broadcasts from you because I knew if I would have watched that at work, I probably would have been extremely pissed off and taken it out on someone. But I said, Hillary is doing way extra to try to fill the black people. And don't they see that? Don't they see that she really doesn't care, but she's just, I don't know what to call it, but I could see it coming a mile away that she's really not serious, but people are still going to jump on the bandwagon. I look at what went on in Pittsburgh. Both Hillary and Bernie have been in Pittsburgh, and it was a love fest. Last week, Donald Trump, you had people protesting. I said, okay, you're going to protest Trump, a-hole, but you're not going to protest Hillary or Bernie, and they don't mean black folks any good either. Come on now. But what Hillary's doing, it's just sickening. I'm sick of looking at her, playing dominoes, appearing on the Black Breakfast Club. That's just straight up pandering. Like, don't we see what she's doing? And stupid black folks are falling for that mess. She understands that she gets us. No, just kill that noise. She's making y'all look stupid. Just cut it out. Sickening. It's sickening.
Well,
it's
sickening. That's the other reason why they did this today. If you all remember with Darren Wilson, they announced that verdict at Thanksgiving. They always look for some other event to try to overshadow so they can try to sneak these verdicts in. They did that at Thanksgiving. If you all remember last year when they released the cop who killed Laquan McDonald, when they let him make bail, that was Thanksgiving too. They find events to hide behind. Daniel Pantaleo, that was Christmas. Go look them up. Go take a look at them for yourselves. Go look those events up, and you'll see it. Darren Wilson, Daniel Pantaleo, Jason, whatever his name is, who killed Laquan McDonald. Now this, they wait until the primaries in New York. We got primaries focusing on, boom, they go drop this in the middle of that. So everybody's talking about Hillary and Bernie and Trump and Cruz, and then they go drop this. By the way, while you're watching the primaries, your genocide is underway.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about that, though. Watch the primaries. Don't worry about that, though. Let Charlamagne and DJ Envy and Angela Yee sit up here and coon and yuck it up for you and be your entertainment. But when the cops get behind you on the street, you ain't going to want to be damn entertained is the problem. And you're going to remember it. Like I told white women when they let George Zimmerman go, I said, understand something. White women, you have forgotten that before they had black people in chains, your men had you in chains. It wasn't black men rampaging through Europe during the Crusades. It wasn't black men as the Vandals and the Vikings grabbing white females as young as 12 and 10 years old saying, you're my wife. It wasn't black men doing that. It wasn't black men who invented the rule of thumb. And you have forgotten who did that to you. And the murder of Trayvon Martin, just understand you have empowered white men to use whatever tactics they want to use against you now. Just remember, you'll remember a child named Trayvon Martin when George Zimmerman is beating you up and pointing guns at you. And was that not exactly what happened with Zimmerman? You emboldened him. Angela Yee, Charlamagne, DJ Envy, you will remember Akai Gurley and the opportunity that you had to stop this when your Zimmerman moment happens. You'll remember it. And if you survive it, you'll regret it. Arlene, I'll let you have the last word.
Only thing I have to say is I haven't listened to the corporate media in months. I come to the Black Channel to get my news. Black First.
Black First, sister, thank you very much for joining us here tonight. I'll only take like one or two more phone calls here tonight. Let me see. This is an area code 225.
Yeah, for your vote.
You're on live with Black
Channel. We don't really have an economy like that. Like you go to a major city like New York, San Francisco, L.A. There's a Chinatown.
This Negro's over here hosting his own broadcast.
You know, we don't really have.
Okay, he's hosting his own program. We'll let him get back to that. Caller from 313. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Black First, Jason. My name is Frank from Wayne, Michigan.
Frank from Wayne, Michigan, what's on your mind, brother?
I just wanted to say the reason why I called the broadcast tonight is because what you said was very correct about we need to check each other's credentials. And I just want to tell you real quick, I'm going to lead up to this. I'm going to try to be very brief. I'm 39 years old. Excuse me. When I was 17, I went to prison. I got out of prison when I was 26. When I got out of prison at 26, I started working at the company that I'm at right now. And guess what? They're doing credential checks at my job. We all have to reapply at my job as of June the 28th. So that's why I'm calling in, because when you said that, I was listening to you through the stream, and I just wanted to let you know you were correct about that.
Well, I meant with each other personally, actually, but yeah, definitely economically and whatnot, they're voting people off the island. We have become, as Dr. Claude Anderson told us over a decade ago, black people are an obsolete workforce, and black folk, because this is the danger of lacking an educated population. And by educated, I don't mean going to school. I mean an intelligent population, a population with a high skill set, high minds, high morals. This is why single motherhood is destruction of you. Animals go out and procreate randomly and recklessly. It's the higher brain functions of civilized people who mate and build families to bring into. So the people who have no respect for a family, which begins with a man and a woman, you will never be able to build an organized society to be able to stop this kind of crap from happening. We are now witnessing the dangers and the evils of having too many dumb people. In black society, we've got too many dumbasses. too many. And whether it's from the drugs, whether it's from inbreeding, because that's all that happens to these housing projects. Pookie gets 12 girls pregnant, and then they never leave the housing project, and the kids are off having sex with each other, and then they're becoming teenage mothers, so before they leave the housing project, so they're sleeping with their cousins and brothers and everything else all over the damn place. Can we just tell the truth about it? Next thing you know, they come out with some avocado bell pepper-headed child who's just up here defending Darren Wilson or becoming the district attorney in Brooklyn and letting the cops go free. Can I just tell the damn truth like it is? But in any case here, we have a situation with too many dumb black folk, and this is the result. I'm voting for Hillary Clinton. Why you tell me I can't vote for Charlamagne? What are you talking about right there? Well, I like the Breakfast Club. That was only one thing bad. Kobe earned 60 points. Too many dumb people. Too many people operating at a dog-like primal basic level. Not even basic intellect. They are operating at a basic organism level. Just responding to stimuli. No thought, no higher brain function. Just responding to stimuli. Let me have sex. Too many bastard kids. Let me have food. 80% of black women are obese. 50% of black men. Let me go ahead and do this. Responding to stimuli. Give me the cell phone. Let me be on Facebook and Twitter to the point that we make up the majority. We're 13% of the population, but the majority of the Facebook and Instagram users. This tells you what the hell the problem is. White folk use crowdfunding to get investment money. Black folk use crowdfunding to pay their damn bills and beg for money as a replacement for the welfare office and child support and food stamps and that nigga that ain't ever did nothing for you. Can we just tell the damn truth? Oh, I'm going to lose a lot of folk tonight. I'm going to lose a lot of listeners. I'm hurting a lot of feelings here tonight. And damn well so be it. I would rather have only 3 people listen to this broadcast who get it than to have 3 million who don't. And that's the damn truth. I'll let you have the last word.
I just want to say that I appreciate you. And I know that you are a very serious man, and I've been listening to the broadcast since 2014, but I must admit, brother, when you do that forgive, I just lose it, man. But I know you being serious, but that's all I got to say, Black First.
Do I entertain you?
No, you don't.
You can hang up now.
Okay.
I guess you all can tell that he probably stayed on the phone talking a little bit too long, huh? He did good right up until he got to the end. When you do that forgive thing, yeah, that's hilarious. You might be... Dude, are you serious? Are you serious? Caller from 917, you're on live with the Black Channel. Okay, caller from 917, it sounds like he's eating some grits or something there. And that's quite all right because I've been on here for long enough as it is, so I'm not worried about that. Tonight's broadcast was precision calibrated for the purposes of telling the truth about this, about how you got into this. We are up against an entire system. It is not going to be enough to piecemeal this out, which is why Dr. Claude Anderson talked about building a community. It is not enough to say, well, let's replace. You can't put a black police chief, no matter how dedicated to black people he may be, you can't just put a black police chief in the middle of a white supremacist government and then say everything gonna be all right. You cannot put a black mayor at the epicenter of a white supremacist system and say everything gonna be all right. You cannot put a black district attorney in the middle of a white supremacist apparatus and think that that one maneuver alone is going to change everything. It's not going to happen. This system don't need a damn tune-up, people. As far as black folk are concerned, this system don't need a damn tune-up. It needs a complete rebuild. You are not going to be able to just change the spark plugs, swap out an alternator, replace the starter, and everything's going to be all right. You got to tear this thing down. In reality, you have to just ship this one off and build a brand new one from nuts to soup to bolts. You got to rebuild it. And you must build it in the image of Africans, in the image of intelligent black society. Your bastard baby makers, your dope smokers, your DJ Envies and Charlemagne shucking and jiving and cooning, because all they live for is sleeping with folk, even if they're not their wives. All they live for is breeding all them damn bastard babies. Their whole lives are gauged by who laid on top of them and who they laid on top of. Meanwhile, death is standing at the door. The decision that must be made among Africans today is what we need to do with ourselves. If you are not building, you're dying. Because the Asians came and they built, and they have now experienced the fruits of being able to build. They have now validated to themselves that they are officially ahead of black people. The Hebrew Israelites spend all damn day standing down there in Harlem yelling at black folk and the white folk who are invading passing by. Brothers of the Hebrew Israelites, if you want to get yourselves some credibility at the black channel and actually stop looking like a bunch of damn idiots, march your asses down to Chinatown. Or if you're in Harlem, go in front of some of these Asian hair care stores. Go and stand in front of some of these Asian liquor stores. Go and stand in front of some of these Asian-owned convenience stores. And you go tell the black folk who march up in there, you start preaching to them about how wrong that is. You start putting them on the spot about that. You want to talk about your sisters out there. The black woman is God. I don't have no goddesses who are giving money to the folk who kill us. I don't have any goddesses who are sitting up here defending the right to buy hair weaves from people who kill us. I don't give a damn if you got to drive clean from Harlem to Philadelphia. You go spend your black hair care dollars with black people. But don't you give another dime to an Asian hair care store, an Asian liquor store, an Asian bootleg DDD man. You don't give another dime to them. I am not suggesting a black boycott. I am saying that we need to have black empowerment. Not another dime. Not one more penny. Not one more second. Not one more day. And everybody needs to be on code, and there should be consequences for those who are not. We need to have the names, addresses, cell phone numbers, Facebook pictures, and every damn thing else of everybody who is not on board with that. The Asians just sent you a message in New York City. It's time for you to send them a receipt for the message they just sent you. The coons in New York just sent you a message in New York City. It's time for you to send them a response text for the message they just sent to you. These folk are bullies. Bastard baby makers are bullies. The feckless coons and whores are bullies. The people who demand that we degenerate into absolute barbarism are bullies. And as I mentioned on my last broadcast, there's a way that you deal with a bully. You find the leader, the biggest one, the one talking the most mess, the one with the most bravado. You find the one pulling the most strings, and you take his ass out. And when you do that, that'll serve as a message to the others. Back the hell off. Because what we did to him, we can do to you. As black people, it is time to coalesce. And if you got Boom Shika walking into the Asian hair care store, that's where you start. You start with her. You start with letting her know she's off code. You start with letting the people know they're off code. And then you let them know what the consequences are of being off code. Because if this had been a black cop who had shot a Latino, I'll be damned if you find one Latino walking into a black soul food restaurant. Their people would check them with the quickness. There would be physical altercations. They would let them know you ain't gonna do this. As black folk, it is time to impose and enforce a code of conduct. And New York's as good a place as any to start. You got all them hair care stores and all those liquor stores in Harlem. Them places need to be ghost towns. You need to be able to wipe the dust off the damn windows and the front of it. Should nobody be walking through there? I don't give a damn where you got to go. You don't need to go there. And this isn't a boycott. This is life. This is a lifestyle. This is just it. That place is dead to you. We got black women in New York City fighting each other on World Star Hip Hop. But for what? Got black folk in New York City shooting each other on the streets. And for what? You got all this aggression for each other. These Asians, you can't find no aggression for that. You can't muster any aggression for that. For each other, it's Coon City. No, if you're going to fight for something, I want to see you fight for something that's worth it. And there are going to be some folk who are going to be out here trying to make you laugh and coon and joke. I want you all to lose your appetite for coonery, buffoonery, laughing, and comedy. No more comedians. No more self-imposed humor stylists. No more people trying to make us laugh, because this ain't no damn laughing matter. What the hell you laughing at? What the hell's so funny to you? Because this ain't funny to me. You go find them, and you let them know that we're not going to tolerate that. I want the silence to be deafening. And if you live in New York City, it's time to march. You tell them Hebrew Israelites, if they want to sit out here and yell at somebody, get off the damn corner of 125th Street. Ain't no Asians there. You go down there to the Asian liquor store and the Asian grocery store, and you go holler at your people down there. And you need to be holding up signs about Akai Gurley. You need to be holding up signs about Peter Liang to remind them. And you need to have your cell phones out. You want to upload something to Twitter? You want to upload something to Facebook? You know, ain't it amazing? We'll upload black folks fighting even when you shouldn't be. If the police are sitting up here getting served by the community, you're not supposed to be sitting up here putting that on Facebook and uploading that. You want to upload something? Upload the coons and clowns and bed wenches and mammies and sluts and whores and jackasses walking into the Asian liquor store and the Asian hair shop. Record that and upload it and say, these are the traitors in black society. These are the traitors in Harlem. Record you talking to them and saying, what about Akai Gurley? Get out your cell phones and record them. You want to put something on Facebook? Do that. You want to put something on World Star? Do that. You want to put something on Twitter? Do that. You want to upload something to Instagram? Do that. You like uploading videos so much? Do that. The Asians are officially ahead of us as black people tonight. They're officially ahead of us, and they have just let you know they are our enemies. God help us. And this concludes tonight's special broadcast of the Black Channel Radio Program. I am your host, your brother, your humble servant, the Black Authority. And until next time, brothers and sisters from around the world, black is the future, and until next time, I hope you'll be here next time.